Okay, everyone. Hi, how are you? Just going to get a Chumash 1 second. Wait a few minutes. Let everyone join. 1 second. Okay, it's good to see everyone. Steven, show yourself. Matt, show yourself. Let's go. Let's get everyone if you can. Okay, please, let's try to, this is our only contact, so let's try to have a little bit of contact. Okay. Okay, I want to make sure everyone that comes in is coming in. Okay, let's start, and is there a way to let everyone in now? Okay. Okay. Welcome, everyone. Good morning, good morning. A little bit of Rashi and Acharemos. The first Rashi and Acharemos, very interesting pasuk. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe, Acharemos shnei bnei Aharon bekarvasam lifnei Hashem vayamusu. Last thing you want to do is to pour salt on a wound. Aaron HaKohen is reeling from this great tragedy which he experienced. His two sons, the great day of Hakamas HaMishkan. I don't mention it. Don't talk about it. Sometimes in life, you have to know what not to talk about. It's about Shemiras HaLashon, not just from Lashon Hara and from Sheker, but when to say certain things, when not to say certain things. Very strange. So Rashi quotes a mashal of Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. And here what's important is, why do you need a mashal? Just tell me the answer. The answer is, let me tell you what Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah said, and then we'll hear the mashal. What he said is, because these laws and halachos in the beginning of Acharemos are about how to enter the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because it's about the laws of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was a 1 day a year that one person entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Aaron and his descendants, who will serve as Kohanim Gadolim, they'll be even more careful to enter on Yom Kippur the proper way when they think about once burnt, twice cautious. Because they'll hear the story, and we'll read every year, not just the Kohanim, but certainly the Kohanim primarily, about two Kohanim at the start of the Mishkan who were a little too zealous and entered with a little too much energy and were a little too comfortable, so they'll be doubly careful. So that's why, at a micro level, the death of Aaron's children are mentioned. Acharei Moshe ben Aaron b'kor v'asam lefnei Hashem v'yamuso. That's why you mention it, because it's instructive. And that's why, in a general sense, macro level, make believe this is a Rabbi Liebtag chug, why are the laws of Yom Kippur being stated here in the middle of nowhere? Where are the two natural locations for these laws? Either these halachos should be written in Tzav and Shemini, in Tzav, where the laws of Korbanos, Vayikra Tzav, this is the Korbanos, or they should be written either in Pinchas or in Emor. Emor and Pinchas are two different lists of Moadim. Emor has the mitzvos, lulav, matzah, sukkah. Pinchas has the Korban Musaf. The Avodah is Yom Kippur, it's a little bit in between. It's not just the Korban Musaf, it's a whole process of entering. But one thing is clear, Acharemos is in the middle of nowhere. It's no man's land. It seems to have very little connection to Tazria Mitzara, very little connection, quite frankly, to the rest of Acharemos. So all of a sudden, you've got this little unit that's inserted in the middle of nowhere, but of Avodas Yom Kippurim. The answer is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said. Avodas Yom Kippurim is a very, very delicate moment. A Kohen Gadol entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, closer than you ever get. You can come a little too comfortable, a little too casual. So we have to, as painful as it is, you have to learn from your mistakes. Point in life, when people point out your mistakes, you don't really like that. You like yes men. You like people who pat you on the shoulder, people who affirm who you are. But when you think about your mistakes, it's raw. it's painful, but it's really helpful. In this case, it's not the mistake of a particular Kohen Gadol, but mistakes that other Kohanim made. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's message. Now I'll read you what he actually says. He says a mashal. Now, whenever you provide a mashal for a message which is so obvious, let's say, Adiv, I see you, you're in the Beis Medrash. Let's say Adiv wants to know what time lunch is. So Adiv, let me tell you a mashal. I'm telling you a mashal. Just tell you it's at 1 o'clock. Stephen is asking me, Rebbe, when is the yeshiva going to open? So let me give you a mashal. Some ideas and some answers are a little more complicated, and you need a mashal. But when the information is so straightforward and still you have a mashal, you have to dig a little into the mashal. What does the mashal add? What I just said is the content of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's answer, that the death of Aaron's children is mentioned in order to encourage Aaron and his children to be a little more careful in the day that they could take things, not lightly, but not be as guarded in their interaction with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has a mashal. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, moshlo mashal, l'chol l'shenichnas etzel rofe. An ill person visits a doctor, and the doctor offers instructions what to eat, what not to eat. Then another person enters, and he gets the same instructions. But now the doctor says, by the way, Reuven, the first person who came in, he got sick because he didn't listen to me. Now listen. So Aaron HaKohen and his children are being warned not to be too careless in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and by the way, your two other children. So what does the mashal add? Why couldn't Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah just say, Lahazhiram al Knisa, Lakodesh HaKadoshim, Shalo Yamusu, Kasher Mesu, Shnei Aaron, Shnei Bnei Aaron? We would have gotten the point. The answer is the mashal adds one critical part of information. What role is Hashem playing? He's a doctor. In the mashal, it's the doctor warning the patients. Hashem is a doctor. Why is it important to see Hashem as a doctor? Because this is the beginning of forming their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how they see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was a really harsh and severe moment. We waited for Hashem. We built the Mishkan. Two people went in to celebrate that great day, and they were killed. So you could have thought that Kadosh Baruch Hu was always angry and full of death and vengeance and hatred. So Hashem saying, no, I'm a doctor. I really want you to live. I really want life. I'm guarding your life now, Aaron HaKohen, and your descendants for your future entry. I'm playing the role of the doctor. A doctor who references the earlier person is not just trying to help you to be cautious. He's spending his whole time in his profession, as our heroes are today, trying to save lives. So the element of the mashal, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was teaching his Talmidim, he didn't just deliver the information. Okay, Hashem has to mention it in order to warn them, but Hashem wants to convey to them, don't assume that I'm angry and I want death. I'm a doctor and I have to mention this. I'm trying to protect you. Very similar theme you have in Parshas Chugas, it's Parshas Korach, excuse me, where there's been a whole series of tragedies, the Meraglim, Korach, a little bit earlier there, Safsuf, Kibros HaTava, a lot of death. And the Jewish people say, Temoshe Atem Hamitem Ezam Hashem. Religion is all about death. And Hashem wants to restore the sense that religion is not about death, but about life. So Aaron is selected, but what's the method by which Aaron is selected? All the staffs, all the matos were placed into the base of Mikdash, and Aaron's staff begins to not jump or levitate or twirl, but to produce fruit and life. So I'm saying I'm not about death, I'm about life. I'm not looking to punish, I just... by the way, Ariel, I like that room. I think I've slept in that room a few times, so it's nice to keep it cozy for me. What I used to say, I said his parents twice. Okay, so it's an interesting Rashi, the content, but also the style. Okay, another interesting Rashi. In the end of the Parsha, in the end of Acharei Mos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu encourages us not to follow, not to be seduced by the practices of either the Egyptians, the culture we spent 200 years in, or the Canaanim, the culture we're going to battle with. Very famous pasuk, Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Ba Lo Tasu, Uchamase Eretz Canaan Asher Miveschem Shem Ba Lo Tasu, V'chukosehem Lo Telecho. Instead of following these foreign cultures, Es Mishpatai Tasu, V'eschukosai tishmeru l'lechas bohem ani Hashem Elokechem. And the next pasuk repeats, u'shmartem eschukosai v'esh mishpatai asher yasa osam adam v'chai bohem ani Hashem. So two psukim in which the tandem of chukim and mishpatim appear. Now Rashi classically interprets the difference between mishpatim and chukim. This isn't the only way to interpret them, but this is the classic way. And mishpatim refer to logical, rational mitzvos. We'd be able to intuit on our own, gezeila, kibud avim, social laws. And chukim refer to irrational types of mitzvos. There's no way we can understand on our own. These are gzeres hakasevs, paraduma, shatnez, the like. Okay, we've heard this before. We've seen this before. This isn't what's new in Rashi. When Rashi's describing the challenge of facing irrational mitzvos, of adhering to irrational mitzvos, Rashi here becomes a little bit more editorializing. Why is it so hard to follow an irrational mitzvah? So Rashi discusses two challenges. He says as follows. Divarim shehem gezeras hamelech, irrational mitzvos that Hashem just decreed, at least in our eyes, arbitrarily. By the way, we don't believe anything's arbitrary, but we just don't know the logic, right? There are some fields of thought that say that Hashem has arbitrary rules and we have to follow them just because Hashem determined them. But Rav Aaron wrote about this a lot in one of his articles. Nothing is arbitrary. Hashem commanded it. It's healthy for us. It's beneficial for us. We just don't know the logic. But what's the challenge, Rashi says? So this is in Perek Yitches, Pasuk Dalet. So the first is, Sheyetzer hara meshiv aleha lama lanu l'shomran. Our own internal conscience, our own internal thoughts struggle. We have doubts. Kibud avim, we're able to identify the reason, the logic. Social laws, laws of chagim, we want to connect to our collective memory. So it's easier for me to perform a mitzvah as a mishpat because my own logic, my own heart, my own conviction is easier generated. But when it comes to paraduma or shatnez, I don't know what I'm dealing with. So there's an internal struggle and internal doubts settle in. But then Rashi discusses a second level of struggle. The umos ha'olam ovde elilim meshivin alehem. It's not just the internal struggle, but also, I'm giving a share, David. Okay, one second. David, tell them I'll call in. I'll call the person, okay? Yes, just I'll call. Okay. I'm going to visit my daughter in Yerushalayim. We're bringing them pizza, my daughter. So we're supposed to pick it up, but they delivered it. So, okay. So pizza delivery guys. Can't count on them. Anyway, the second problem is that umos ha'olam ovde avodah zarah meshivin aleha. It's not just the internal doubt that we're unable to muster conviction, but we look foolish in the eyes of other people. At least we think we do. So when we're keeping, let's say, Pesach, okay, we have Pesach, they have Easter. We're each connecting to some collective memory. This is what the great effort in the previous generations of America to create equity or equivalence between Christmas and Hanukkah. We have your Christmas, we have our Hanukkah. Well, but it makes sense because we're conducting practices which are similar. I always thought that the genre of rabbi jokes was an American or Western civilization attempt to be equal. Rabbi and a priest walk into a bar. Okay, we've arrived. A rabbi is just like your priest. They can walk into a bar together. They can share the same joke. You know, it created a sense of identity that Jews felt was necessary to create equivalency. So when it comes to mitzvos that have currency, logically, people don't feel odd performing them in the presence of others. What about those that stick out? What are those shatnez, tzitzis, what about the mitzvos that don't have any correlative or don't have anything corresponding? And there's no, okay, we understand the depth of tzitzis and tefillin. So Rashi is describing two obstacles that people have when performing mitzvos that stick out and that deviate from logic. One is internal, yetzahara. One is umos ha'olam, meshivin aleh, kigon achilas chazir, Levisha Shatnez, Vitaris Mechatas, Paraduma, Lekach Nemar Ani Hashem Gazarti Alechem. That's a second Rashi about the challenge of performing a chok. And in theory, one could say that since it's more challenging, the schar is greater and the personal experience is greater. When a person performs Kibbut Avayim or a mitzvah, the classic question, but since you have to overcome a Yitzhara, so in theory, or you have to overcome the concern of public ridicule, or public discomfort. So perhaps the mitzvah is a stronger mitzvah, more formative, more developmentally important. Okay. Another interesting Rashi. The continuation of the pasuk is Es mishpatai tasu, ves chukotai tishmeru, laleches bohem. Seems redundant. It's chukosai tasu, mishpatai tasu, chukosai tishmeru, laleches bohem. What does laleches bohem add? We already have the verbs, tasu, tishmeru. Where's laleches bohem? That sounds a little bit like lechtecha baderech. Sounds a little bit like mechukosai telechu. Remember the Rashi in Mechukosai talks about Talmud Torah, mechukosai telechu, shtua melim batara. So somehow Rashi, for some reason, which I won't elaborate here, feels that the phrase laleches bohem, mechukosai telechu, is not about performance, but about study. Mechukosai, mechukosai telechu, shtua melim batara, parsha sachremos, laleches bohem. But here Rashi has a very interesting anti-Torah umada phrase. Or so you'd think. So let's listen carefully. Rashi says, lo leches bohem, al tipater mitocham. Don't disengage from them. Shelo tomar, don't say, oh, lamadati chochmas Yisrael. I've studied Jewish wisdom. Elech ve'elmad chochmas ha'umos. Now I'll go and study their wisdom. Don't. Lo leches bohem. Stick to Torah. Okay, so you should all take your college degrees and college acceptances and rip them up. Stay in Israel. Stephen, you're listening? Don't record me. Stay in Israel. Don't tell your father. Stay in Israel, right? Don't go back. You're not allowed to study anything else. Okay, so first of all, before I get to the punchline of Rashi, it's interesting that he refers to it as Chachmas Yisrael versus Chachmas Ha'umos. What about if you feel that Chachmas Yisrael includes other areas? He doesn't distinguish between Torah and non-Torah. He says Chachmas Yisrael and Chachmas Umos. What if I'm able to feel that the study is part of Chachmas Yisrael? How do I draw? It's in some way, it's easier to draw the line between Torah and non-Torah. Right? So a pasuk is Torah, Tehillim is Torah, Mishnah is Torah, Gemara is Torah, Masefer is Torah. Reading math is not Torah. But we'll make a brechas of Torah. You could read math on Tisha B'Av. Some people like to read math on Tisha B'Av. It's painful. So it's not Torah, and the law and the lines, the demarcation lines are much more easily drawn. But Rashi doesn't distinguish between Torah and non-Torah. He distinguishes between Chachmas Yisrael versus Chachmas Umos. So for example, if I'm studying math, but there's an overriding sense that I'm trying to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu in it, and the purpose is either to understand the Gemara in the more micro sense, is that Chachmas Umos or Chachmas Yisrael? If I'm studying art in order to arrive at Magadlu Masech Hashem, that could be called Chachmas Yisrael. If I'm studying art just to appreciate the human body and to engage in sexual frivolity, that could be called Chachmas Umos. So in the subject matter, if it's Torah versus non-Torah, then it's purely subject matter. But Rashi develops different terminology that may not stack up with what's Torah, what's not Torah. Second of all, Rashi doesn't prohibit learning others. He says, Shelo tomar, lamadati chachmas Yisrael elech. Let me finish. Or the beginning of the Rashi says, al tipater mitocham. Don't walk away. Maftir means you're walking away. The afikoman, im maftir nachar pesach afikoman. So if a person says, oh, I've already studied in yeshiva for 2 years, and now I'm finished. I don't need this anymore, you know. I'm finished with my svarim. Now I want to study other areas that may be violating laleches bohem according to Rashi. The person changes the proportions and says the calibrations, then I've studied Torah at this point. I need to. I feel like a. So there may be other areas of how primary Talmud Torah is and Kavati Yimla Torah, but you're not walking away. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if a person has the chance to study Torah and he walks away, he's Devar Hashem Baza. Now you're slapping, as it were, the word of Hashem in the face. You're disdaining the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's an interesting Rashi, and if you just read it really quickly, it sounds like don't study anything but Torah. But if you take a closer look both at the terminology of what the two different areas are, as well as what the instruction is, again, shelo tiftar mitocham. Don't say I'm finished. Shelo tamru lamadati chachmas Yisrael elech. Elech means I'm walking. Laleches bohem, Rashi says, stick in Torah. That's how Rashi gets to it. Laleches bohem means stick to the world of Torah, But if you're still in the world of Torah and you're studying other areas, and especially if you feel those areas will help you, I'll give you my own rant for a few minutes as to what I feel the difference between Rav Lichtenstein's Torah Mada experience as a Talmud and at least what I've heard about the Rav's experience. I was a Talmud of the Rav, so minimally. But the Rav seemed to have been comparing the systems. So there's the system of religion or philosophy or of ideas that the Torah presents us with. There's the system of ideas which man created, the classics, Kantian morality, Hegelian philosophy, crisis theology, which the Rav talked about a lot, how Christians respond to crisis, how the Torah responds to crisis, and then comparing and contrasting. With Rav Lichtenstein, we never felt that it was all systemic. It wasn't like this system or that system. Rav Lichtenstein was trying to understand his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trying to understand himself better so they could bring more of himself to that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he had so much respect in other human beings that if human beings had something wise to say about religion or about the human experience, he wanted to quote them. But I had the feeling Rav Lichtenstein was always lelechas bohem. He was always standing in the Beis HaMikdash. Some people stand in the Beis HaMikdash and aren't interested in looking at anything beyond the Har HaBayis. Some people stand in the Beis HaMikdash and say, what can I bring into the Beis HaMikdash? My sense, again, just to keep the metaphors, the Rav said, let me walk out of the Beis HaMikdash, not mentally, but at least let me really study these systems and then compare what's happening. So my raya for this, I got a great raya. Here's my raya, the story. We started with the story, we'll end with the story. It was Parshas Bereishis, a long, long time ago, like 25 years ago. And Rav Aaron was speaking Friday night. Now, you can imagine the scene, an hour 15, an hour and a half. You can look at me since it's a Zoom conference. This is how the first row looked. Like heads were bobbling up and down. We were exhausted. You're talking. Then all of a sudden, Rav Aaron screamed, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And immediately you saw like 20 heads, like, shoot up. Did he just cite Humpty Dumpty? Evidently, the rhyme of Humpty Dumpty is a metaphor for the fall of man. That man fell so dramatically that he couldn't be reconstituted. And Rav Aaron had interwoven it into his talk. After the shiur, the Israelis came over to me and said, Misa Humpty Dumpty, Acharon Rishon, Eze Sefer Katan. No, it's a Mother Goose rhyme. Now here's my challenge. Speak to Talmidim of the Rav, ask them this question. Would the Rav ever quote Mother Goose? In a million years, not. The Rav would quote Kant and Hegel and Plato and the high people. Rav Aaron quoted great thinkers, quoted Humpty Dumpty, quoted sports figures, coaches, because anytime he felt that he could sees an idea of deep, not that he just read them on the back of a cereal box. I mean, he seriously studied these areas. But it wasn't the systems much as the ideas that he gleaned from the system rather than the underlying logic. So a lot here to think about in that Rashi, and also training us to read Rashi as carefully as we can. So number one, the message to Aaron's children, once burnt, twice cautious. Number two, or 1B, there's a metaphor that Hashem's a doctor, that Hashem cares for us, something very resonant, of course, in our current condition. The second Rashi is the two struggled with illogical mitzvahs, internal churning, but also people sometimes uncomfortable, people looking at me. The goal is, of course, not to be uncomfortable, to be brave, to be courageous, to feel your faith so deeply as you don't care what people say about you. And the third issue is Lelechas Bem. Rashi says, don't walk away from Chachmas Yisrael towards Chachmas Umos. Those are interesting terms. And certainly Rashi is talking about walking away. And even when a person studies other areas, he may not be walking away. Okay, so it's good to see all of you. Thank you for coming early in the morning. I have to go to my daughter in Yerushalayim and bring her the pizza before it gets cold. Call a pizza shop and pay, actually. I don't want to be a pizza thief. But... okay. Good to see you all.
Thank you.
Well, yes, sir. Stephen, you're in Israel, right, Stephen?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to take out my mic.
He's in Yeshiva. I didn't know Yeshiva was so full.
Yeah, it's great. So much learning is happening right now.
Okay, just don't bang into Ellie Weber.
Yeah,
I'll try that. Yeah.
All right, keep my room for me.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you.
Rob, thank you. Have a good day.
See you next. Bye-bye.